The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Text C, when you see some of the richest neighbourhoods in the world burning down, you just wonder about your own neighbourhood and how vulnerable it is to fire if the mega rich can't protect their own homes. Surely someone noticed the threat in LA given wind conditions, lack of water and dry tinder material, and an awful lot of people also pointing to it as yet another example of climate change, which is appropriate given that we are going to be talking to the party that probably is most dedicated, or the leader of the party, which is most dedicated to that as an issue, that being the Green Party, coming back after a fairly devastating election. One sitting TD left, that being the leader, Roderick O'Gorman, who is with us this morning, fresh from their convention that happened yesterday. Roderick O'Gorman, first, you are very welcome. Second, I believe you are going to be a bollocks.
Morning, Anton. We had a very successful convention in Dublin 15 yesterday. About 400 members came together to discuss the future and discuss the approach we're going to take in the next Dáil. And I'm coming out of a period of 4.5 years of government, 4.5 years where I worked closely with our coalition partners.
And that leads me to that epithet. You have told people, apparently, that the relationship is now going to be as described, a lot testier than it once was.
Well, I'm an opposition TD now, and my job is to hold the government to account, hold it to account for the commitments it's going to make in the programme for government we're going to see in the next week or two, but also hold them to account for the things that were agreed over the last 4.5 years, the climate action plan, our public transport investment targets, and I want to see them delivered. And if I see the new government straying from these, if I see them trying to, you know, as part of the various deals they're going to cut with independents, trying to use money that was allocated for major public transport projects, for climate investment, to kind of, sweeten those deals, I'm going to be very vocal.
Well, the way that it was described was by Juliette Gash for RTE, who quoted you as saying that when former coalition colleagues asked you effectively, would you be civil? It was that word that you used to characterise what you would be like. Is that true?
That term may have been deployed in a tongue-in-cheek way in a conversation, all right, yeah.
How difficult is it going to be to take that role? Because presumably much of what will be in the programme for government will be a continuation of the government of which you were part.
Well, I'm not sure about that from what we hear from the talk so far. I think it's going to be quite a different approach adopted by the next government, and particularly when we see the influence of the regional independents who are coming into the talks in the next number of weeks. And my party and many of the regional independents would have a very different position. I think I think it'll be quite a
Healy Rays in particular.
I think it'll be quite a throwback government to the kind of the approach we saw in the 90s. But I think. What I know is I've never been an opposition TD before. I was a minister in my first term of government, but I also know the questions a minister doesn't like to get, because I got them for 4.5 years. So I think I can use my experience as minister to very much focus on those key issues where I feel the new government isn't delivering.
Let's come back to those issues of what it's like going to be like in opposition and what we can expect of the Green Party. Before that, the general election, you have had time over Christmas to have a reflection on where you are. It was, I assume, electorally, probably the worst result that the Green Party has ever had, to only return one TD.
No, it wasn't in 2011. We lost all our TDs, so it's not
fine
the worst.
Point, I take
but that's
it back.
not to take away from how serious the result it was.
Where does it leave you? Because again, I use the phrase with Lynn Boylan in relation to Sinn Féin, one of the things that matters in politics is momentum. Mm-hmm. And trying to rebuild that momentum back to where you would have been 2006, 2007. What's your plan? How big is the challenge?
It's significant, but we have done it before, and I've been part of doing it before. In 2011, we had no TDs, no state funding. We had two county councillors in the whole country after we left government in 2011, and I became party chair later on in that year. And myself and Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin, we would have worked to rebuild the party. It took a long time. It took us until the 2019 local and European elections where we made a really significant breakthrough. But we're in a much different situation now. We do have one voice in the Dáil through my own election. We are running candidates in the Senate elections right now, and we have a strong chance of getting at least one, if not more, senators elected at the end of January. 23 councillors in the Republic, 5 in Northern Ireland.
And what was the sense yesterday at the convention? Because obviously there's two ways you could look at this. There is the way where you look internally and say, we got this wrong. We either strategically shouldn't have gone into government, we should have pursued other policies, we should have communicated better, or you say the electorate is ungrateful, we did the right thing and they didn't recognise it. Which was the sort of sense?
Well, first of all, there was a really positive sense in the convention. There were 400 delegates there. The place was packed out. Secondly, no one was saying we shouldn't have gone into government. There was a strong sense that the urgency of climate action needed a party to step up. We did it. We're proud of what we achieved. The vast majority of the Green Party policies that we got into the programme for government were implemented. But undoubtedly, we have to examine why we had such a poor performance.
And what have you come up with?
There was a strong view in terms of we were so focused on delivery, we were so focused on getting policy after policy implemented that we didn't tell the story. We didn't speak about what we were achieving. And in particular, we didn't talk about how what we were doing was helping people. And we allowed a narrative build out there that the Greens are about taxing you, that the Greens are about punishing you. That's not the case. I can point to the work I did, cutting very significantly childcare costs for parents. Eamon Ryan cut public transport costs for the first time in 50 years in the country. Catherine Martin's support for the arts. So policy after policy we implemented were supporting people. But we were so focused on doing what's next, on trying to get that programme for government, get each green objective ticked off, that I don't think we spent enough time on the politics of actually selling and speaking about our achievements and describing how they were actually helping.
Is that doable though? Is there any market for people to have a politician say, have you noticed how good I've been to you lately? Do they listen to that?
Well, I think plenty of politicians do it. It has to be done. I think that's a clear learning from the last 4.5 years from us. It has to be done. Like I believe many of the policies that we've implemented over the last 4.5 years will have in the medium to long term really positive impacts for families, for businesses, for households around the country. But you have to play the politics as well as the policy. I think we did a good job on the policy, but we didn't do enough on the politics.
Are you worried about the green agenda and the way that it's going? Because if you look at the sort of the wildfires in California, you would have thought that was the kind of thing that everybody would say, well, there is a significant element of climate change contributing to that. But actually what we have seen is it become a political football in the US. We've even seen Elon Musk as leader of the largest electric car company saying that the climate change scaremongers are overstating the nature of the problem. All of that would suggest that the momentum that was there in respect to the green agenda is winnowing away awful quick.
Well, we know the issue isn't as prevalent as it was in 2019 and 2020 in terms of the public focus. It's not to say that the issue actually, the issue is getting worse, and the challenges from major climate catastrophes, we see them now on a weekly basis.
But people don't care. I mean, the poll shows that people, in terms of issues, what, the fifth?
In terms of prioritisation, no. And I think we have to understand why is that, because in 2020 we saw the COVID crisis that, changed politics globally. And that the impact of that change is still being felt. Secondly, it generated an inflationary spike, which also changed politics. Ireland is one of the few countries that hasn't seen a complete change of government after an election because of the consequences of the inflationary spike.
Sorry to cut across you. I would have thought, and I, with apologies to any of those who find themselves in difficult economic or personal circumstances, but if you look at Ireland as a totality, we are high on the hog. Economically, we are running surpluses. We have economic growth that is the envy of Europe. We are one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We are have one of the highest standards of living in the world. If when things are going well, people don't care about climate change, I mean, if it was mid-COVID, you could see we've other fish to fry. But if, as it now stands, things are going well and people don't care, how do you get them to care if there's difficult winds blowing?
My experience from, you know, knocking on doors for almost a full year now between the various elections is people don't feel they're doing well. And that was, I think, a major issue, particularly in the last weeks of the general election. We saw cost of living actually alongside housing become the dominant issue. And where people feel they're not doing well, any policy that they perceive may, you know, do more to undermine their economic situation is one they're going to be concerned about. Now, I don't accept the argument. What I've pointed out is that the Green policies were looking to support people time and time again, but we lost that argument in the course of the last general election, and I think we allowed too often. We didn't fight back hard enough against opposition TDs who were kind of making this argument that the Greens were about costing people money. It's not the case. But we lost that argument. And again, that's another key learning that we discussed at our convention yesterday.
One of the challenges you will have now is you find yourself in a parliamentary party of one. However eager you may want to be in holding the government to account, it's a very lonely role to do it when you don't have anybody else to share that burden, when you don't have anybody else to give you the heft at Oireachtas questions or leaders' questions. Even to get the look in at leaders' questions is tricky. Have you got concerns about that? Are you?
Well, I'd hoped that we will see more members of the parliamentary party in the Shannon, as I said, after the Shannon elections. But it's a changed situation that I face and that the party faces. You know, in 2011, we spent 5 years where we had no Oireachtas representation. That was hard, but we got through that. The fact that we still have that one voice in the Dáil is hugely important. I've seen, having been in the Dáil for the last 4.5 years, I've seen how one member of the Oireachtas can be very influential, have a really strong voice.
Who was the one when in government you looked across there and thought, oh no, not this guy again or this girl again?
You look around, like Dennis Nocton, for example, was someone who huge experience, and even though an independent TD on his own, knew how to use that voice, use the theatre of Parliament, whether it's individual questions to a minister, whether it's leaders' questions, whether it's committee performances. He knew how to make one voice stand out, and the big kind of models like that is definitely one I'd look to replicate.
But personally, do you have no sense of trepidation? Not so much trepidation, just disappointment. To go from stepping into election and immediately into ministerial office and all of the trappings that go with it to not just opposition, but opposition on your own. I mean, that's Mary Harney's quote squared.
Well, of course, you know, I'm hugely disappointed about the result. I'm hugely disappointed that colleagues who worked incredibly hard as ministers, as legislators, as constituency TDs didn't hold their seats. It's going to be a different situation for me in there. But I know how difficult it was when we had no Oireachtas representation. So, and the one, I suppose, constant people were coming up to me yesterday.
But it can't be personally difficult for you in the Oireachtas if you have no Oireachtas representation. I'm asking about that thing of being cast out into the cursed earth of opposition on your own. That has to be something you're not looking forward to.
No, I am looking forward to it because I think it is an opportunity for us to rebuild our party. It's an opportunity for us to shine a light on the actions of the next government and to ensure that those policies that the Green Party got passed over the last 4.5 years are fully implemented. And if there's an attempt to deviate, if there's an attempt to water them down, to put real pressure on the incoming government about that.
Can I ask you about the government formation? One of the things that Ireland Thinks poll today reveals that when asked, roughly 2/3 of people said that Michael Lowry should not be involved, or that the government party should not approach Michael Lowry as a representative of the independents, given the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal and given the other issues that he has very publicly had. Would you agree with that?
My concern isn't actually about one individual. My concern.
My question is though about that one individual.
But I think that's the wrong focus. To be honest, I think the focus should be on what are the policies that this new government are going to take. What are the different approaches?
But in this instance, the question is about that one person. Should they be dealing with Lowry?
Look, ultimately, people of Tipperary have elected Michael Lowry on multiple occasions. We get mandates from our constituencies. I'd be just as worried about this new government if like Lowry wasn't involved, because I am worried that they are going to, their focus on these very localised deals are going to take away focus from the national
mandate,
issues
that mandate that we, supersedes that we face as a country. Character or record.
I think ultimately it's up to the people of each constituency to elect their TDs. You know, in the course of the general election campaign, there's a lot of concern about Gerry Hutch running. But ultimately, people have a right to put themselves forward. People of Dublin Central didn't give him a mandate. The people of Tipperary North had given Michael Lowry.
To extend that example then, had they given him a mandate, you'd be okay with the government getting into negotiations with somebody who was a multiply convicted criminal? Because he has a mandate?
I wouldn't have been if I'd been in the position to negotiate a programme for government. I don't think I'd have gone into negotiations with Gerry Hutch.
But Larry's okay.
Look, again, the issue is the policies that are being pursued, and I have a real concern about the policies that rural independents are putting forward right now. I think that focus on that regionalised approach to deal making is going to undermine a more coherent approach to a range of national policies.
But that does mean Larry's okay.
I think, look, fundamentally, as I said, Michael Lowry got a mandate from the people in Tipperary North.
But Gerry Hutch might have gotten one from where? Dublin Central, where was it?
Ultimately, he didn't vote.
Final thing on government formation. If you were predicting it, given that you know all the characters involved and the challenges of the manifesto and aligning them, when do you think we're actually going to get this white smoke and be able to get on with it?
I'm not sure if we'll see the 22nd. I know that's the date that we're coming back to meet again, but I think it'll probably drag out another week or two. I think the independent TDs will want to show that they fought hard and that they held out as long as possible on the various elements. So I'd say it'll be probably late January before we see a new Taoiseach elected.
Roderick O'Gorman, thank you very much. That's Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party and of course Dublin West TD.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.